All of us have been challenged afresh by the commandments God has given us in His Word. Aren't you glad we've come to the fifth commandment? Where God said, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Aren't you glad we've come to that? You know, I had one of the Sayo family with a smirk on his face tell me that we should have kept the sunlight celebration kids in this week. You know, as adults, we get a chance finally to sit back and hear Pastor whip our children into shape. We've got our elbow ready to nudge just in case they start to drift off or not pay attention. After all, isn't this the children's commandment? Unfortunately, I'm not going there. You'll find enough probably this week to make you squirm in your seats once again. But before we look at this command of God, let's bow in prayer. Father, I do thank you for your word and for its relevance in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for what it reveals about yourself, your nature, and what it reveals about ourselves, and what it means to walk in your way. What it means to allow ourselves to be transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit into the likeness of your Son. And I ask and pray that we might see once again the commands that you have given us in Scripture are for our good, are a blessing. May we see them for what they are. For I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now when we look at this command, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. We can say, yes, this passage, this command does have an application to our children. We could point to the Apostle Paul, who referred to this command when writing to the church in Ephesus. You may recall, he said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. This was certainly understood in strong terms. In fact, we can find in Deuteronomy chapter 21, beginning at verse 18, God says this. He says, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and his mother and who will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of the town. They shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate and a drunkard. Then all the men of the town shall stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. Delinquency was termed as an assault on fundamental authority and must be dealt with as the serious threat it poses to the stability of society. This command does have something to say to children. Children need to obey their parents in the Lord. But I want us to look at this command through the eyes of the first audience who received this command. For who would that have been? This command was given to adults, the ones who were in charge of the society. You may recall that this was a people who had left slavery with its inherent devaluation of people as they age. Being less productive, they would be viewed as worth less. As a people began to embrace freedom, they stood in danger of continuing on this view of those who aged. The people of Israel were tempted to view the honor of the previous generation as a threat to their ascendancy. You know, it works in nature. The strong young replace the older by dominating it. If you look at a deer, it's the young buck that comes up and does what? He challenges the older buck, the one who has had the herd, and by defeating it, takes control then of the whole herd. Or if you have two trees, you have a tree that's growing, that's old, it sends out its seeds, but then another tree begins to grow. They fight for the sunlight. And trying to escape from the shadow of the older tree, ultimately that younger tree tries to become what? The shadow over the older tree, ultimately killing it so that it can grow strong and vigorous. We could translate this into human terms. For as a young man or woman grows older, he or she wishes to do what? To escape from the shadow of his or her parents. To be able to exert him or herself as an individual. To be the one who is the one who can establish the rules of whether it be that household or the society. By the way, you may recall the Apostle Paul, after telling the children to obey their parents, goes on to tell parents in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, he says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." In essence, he says, don't try to keep them under your shadow. Don't try to use them for the purpose of enhancing your own honor. The tree, like the tree, keeping the sapling from being able to see and get the light. And what happens to that sapling that can't get enough light? It ultimately withers and dies and merely becomes more food for the towering tree. There are some children that feel like they are being ground into mulch to nourish the ancient elm. For it's all about the glory of that tree. Over the last couple decades, we've often heard things like worship wars. And what are the worship wars where people are battling in terms of what kind of worship that we'll have? Ultimately, it is a struggle for ascendancy. Often it centers around music. Which music will reign? Will it be hymns? Will it be contemporary songs? What will it be? What would it be? Which generation will win this battle? Which generation would be allowed to worship God in their language or be forced to use the language of the motherland? For much of the struggle, both sides have been wrong. Seeking that honor, seeking, striving. One to get out of the shadow, the other to hold the shadow, the other to try to at times use the new emerging shadow to eclipse that which has passed. When parents try and keep their children under their shadow, it is an abuse of the privileged position God has given them. For parents are called by God to present a picture of who He is to their children. He who is the author of life. He who is the authority that governs and looks out for the well-being of all. Parents are to model that for their children. There are tragic consequences when this privilege and position is abused. It can easily skew a child's view of God throughout his or her whole lifetime. So God commanded the people of Israel, honor your father and mother. Now, a couple of notes here to look at that very just overview. First of all, you notice he puts this in the positive. He doesn't say, don't dishonor. He says, what? Honor them. See, just merely the absence of dishonor does not mean that you have fulfilled the command. You may say, well, you know, I haven't done anything to dishonor my parents, so therefore I'm obeying this. No, that's not how this is termed. This is termed in the positive. It needs to be an action that is taken. The other thing to note is that God includes here honoring one's mother. We probably, within our own culture, which often, if you see people calling out on television or the like, they say, you know, hi, Mom. We don't realize how strange it would have been in that ancient world. What a radical concept that God should put on equal terms the honoring of mother with the honoring of father. So what is this honor? The word honor comes from the Hebrew word kavod. It is a word meaning weighty or heavy, noteworthy or impressive. One honors another when they treat that person as one they respect and who is considered valuable. Honor, likewise, is something that is visible. It is a public act, not a private feeling. Honor is a public act, not a private feeling. The command God gives to the people is simply this: do that which demonstrates to the community that this person has value. Do that which demonstrates to the community that this person has value. Now, we may want to fulfill this command, but our questions reveal struggles that are there at very practical issues. And as we look at this, we say, well, I want to do that, but how does that work out? When, if ever, is it okay or even the right thing to put one's parents in a nursing home? How do I respond when my mother complains once again, how come you don't visit more often, even though I see her 5 times a week? When my parents say such harmful things, how do I honor them and protect my children and myself from them? We could add a myriad of other questions that we struggle with as we seek to put this into practice, as we seek to live out this. Added to this, we face the temptation that was faced by the Pharisees, wanting to know the rules, in some senses, so that we can follow the letter of the law and get by. You may recall, as Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, he told them, "You say that if a man says to his father and mother, what other help you might otherwise have received from me as a gift devoted to God, he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God." In essence, what they were saying was, I have these funds, I have this means that I should use to help my parents, but I have already promised this to God in the future. And because it is promised to God, I can't give it to my parents now. Sure, when I die, it will go to God, but, as for now, it's not available to my parents. This is a way in which they had sought, in essence, to insulate themselves from some of the difficulties of following the command. Ultimately, underlying all that, and sometimes even the questions or the actions we do, is the question that says, how can I find a way to justify continuing to do what I'm currently doing? Or we may simply want to answer that allows us to fit honoring our parents into our already busy schedules and the pursuits that we have. For recognize, we live in a culture that increasingly thinks of the elderly as the least valuable members of our society. Often they're viewed as those who stand in the way of progress for the up-and-coming generation. As one writer noted, increasingly the elderly feel economic pressure to step aside from care and toward death. They do not want to burden their children by depleting financial resources. The choice for death becomes more intelligible in such cases. But we do not need recourse to a fictional right to die to avoid these quandaries. Indeed, public claims of a right to die only increase pressure on the vulnerable, again, especially the elderly, to see themselves as having an obligation to die and get out of the way. In a subtle way, and sometimes not so subtly, a generation older than us can hear us say, "Hurry up and die." The rationale that is left for honoring parents for many can be summed up by a bumper sticker that reads, "Honor your parents. They haven't written their will yet." In similar fashion, they're often viewed as the least valuable human life. Think for a moment, you're watching television, and suddenly the newscaster breaks in and says, a school bus carrying 7 children was killed. 17 children was killed, and the horror that we think of 17 lives lost. Think for a moment. Instead, the newscaster comes on and says, a tour bus carrying 17 seniors crashed and killed them. Do we have the same horror? See, seniors we view, well, they've already lived their life. They're the past. Children are what? They're the future. Seniors are viewed as takers, and we expect that our children are the ones who will give. After all, aren't they the ones who are going to be paying or trying to pay Social Security when we get old? In a similar fashion, they are also said to have the least to say to our modern world. Watch a situation comedy, and what do you see? We are no longer in the days of Father Knows Best. The older the adult, the greater the dolt. We, as those who seek after God, are called to be different. We are called to honor our father and our mother. We find examples of what this is in Scripture, what it might look like. For instance, we could look to Proverbs 23:22. There we'd hear, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when you are old, when she is old. Or Leviticus 19:32 that says, rise in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elder, and revere God. I am the Lord. Or 1 Timothy 5:8 that says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Or Leviticus 19:3 that says, each of you must respect his mother and father. Or we could even look at the passage that was read earlier to us by Verna, where we saw the picture of Jesus Christ on the cross, dying the cruel death, and there looks with compassion and provides for his mother. Now, this honor is not given naively. Sure, sometimes it's easier than others. Sometimes that honor just seems to come natural. For you find that you're honoring a life of noble character and action. At other times, it comes with great pain. For some people are raised in a home in which they were neglected and overlooked, or where parents exasperated them. There are those who grew up in homes where terrible evil and horrible sins were committed against them by the very people God entrusted their safekeeping. God isn't saying, just get over it, ignore the pain, deny this ever happened. He's not saying, you know, pretend this other world exists. Instead, he calls us to honor them, even if it is simply giving them the honor of one who bears the image of God. And those who keep this command, we find God offers a promise. He says, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. This could come from a number of sources. It could come as a result of the honor we receive later on ourselves. Like the old adage goes, what goes around comes around. For children form their view of how the elderly should be treated by observing how their parents treat their fathers and mothers, how their parents treat the generation before them. You may be familiar with one of Grimm's fairy tale. In the fairy tale, it's a story about a little boy who lives with his father and his mother and his grandfather. Now, the grandfather is really feeble and so feeble that as he sits there at the dinner table, his hands are shaking. When he ate, the silverware would rattle against the plate. As he'd bring the spoon up to his mouth, often he'd miss. The food would fall off onto the tablecloth. The young mother just seemed to get more and more frustrated as days would pass, for it seemed as if there was always some reason, something that she had to clean up. Just something else to do. And so the young parents decided to move him away from the table and into a corner where he could sit on a stool and eat from a bowl. The young mother said to the man, "From now on, you eat over there." And so he did, always looking at the table and wanting to be with the family, but having to sit alone in the corner. One day, his hands were trembling even more than usual, and he dropped his bowl and he broke it. The young father was incensed and yelled, "If you're going to eat like a pig, you're going to eat from a pig's trough." And so the man made an old wooden trough. From then on, they put his meals in it and told him to eat from it. And the old man obediently did. Not long after that, the couple came upon their 4-year-old son playing out in the yard with some scraps of wood, and they saw that he was fashioning something. And they said, "What are you making? It looks like you're making a manger for baby Jesus." And the boy looked up and smiled. He said, "No, I'm not, Daddy. I'm making a trough to feed you and Mommy when you get older and I get big." Well, the next day, the old man was back at the table eating with a family from a plate, and no one ever scolded him or mistreated him again. It's as simple as the words of Jesus: "Do to others as has you'd have them do to you." Or maybe rephrased here, it would be, "Honor your parents in the way in which you wish your children to one day honor you." The other source of the fulfillment of this promise could come from the way in which it changes us when we honor them, even when they've acted dishonorably. For this is fundamentally an internal transformation. As one writer observed, it is possible to maintain cordial contact, assist a bad parent with such basic needs as food, housing, and medicine, and not spend a lot of time marinating in negativity in front of them or behind their back. It may not be ideal, and it may not salve your feelings, but that small something you do ennobles your soul anyway. Ultimately, as we obey this command, we discover that God frees us from the crushing pursuit of our own honor, and particularly that pursuit of our own honor at the expense of others. As God says, honor Him, honor your parents, and He will take care of the rest. For the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, "Those who honor me, I will honor." I'd like us to just bow our heads and for some moment, just give you time to be silent before the Lord. Listen as the Holy Spirit speaks, and with a voice, respond, "Yes, Lord."